Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, July the 30th. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. There's been an angry reaction to plans to close down a market in Maidstone. Stallholders currently set up in the market hall and cafe at Lockmeadow on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but the council's looking for new uses for the site. Royston Starling owns Perfectly Pulled, which is in the nearby food court, and he's been telling us what he thinks.
I've been here for 18 months now, so I'm still fairly new to Lockmeadow as a trader, as a business. But one of the really important parts of what we've got here is a community space, and I think we're really missing a trick and using it as a community space. We've got a market here that runs every Tuesday morning, got a bunch of traders who come in for breakfast, and it's a real community spirit and a community feel that we get in the food hall there, but also amongst customers and the market traders themselves. There are very regular customers that come here, and so any decision that's taken to close down this market with a suggestion of it could move up to Jubilee Square is one that's really ill-founded and not thought through, and frankly it's not been done with any consultation with traders and customers as well. Saturday markets are incredibly busy here, and there really is an important space for it, and this is a historical part of this town and we should be keeping that.
Now, the market and market hall are run by the council, which employs a manager to be on site. The hall is currently used for things like sales by an auction house, for the occasional cat or dog show, and by the monthly Maidstone Repair Cafe. At a meeting last week, the council's cabinet members decided to look for a community-based organisation to lease the premises for things maybe like social, cultural or well-being uses. Now, no deadline for the market to close has been set just yet, and another market also runs in Jubilee Square, but clearly some people aren't happy about a potential closure. You can let us know what you think today by commenting on the story at Kent Online or via our socials.
Kent Online News.
The parents of a little boy from Broadstairs who died just hours after falling ill at home have paid tribute to their beautiful and funny son. Woody Heron became unwell in March, just 12 days before his fourth birthday, and passed away at the QEQM in Margate. His cause of death has been given as sudden unexpected death in childhood. An inquest will be held in September. A man in his 20s has been taken to hospital following reports of an attack in Gillingham. Police and paramedics were called to Duncan Road near the Aldi store yesterday evening. We're told inquiries are ongoing. A court's been told how a Medway woman threatened to stab strangers and shouted racist slurs in the street. Charmaine Jackson was drunk when it happened in Brompton in August last year. The 32-year-old from the High Street was given a suspended prison sentence and will have to wear an alcohol monitoring tag for 90 days. A former Met police officer who lied about being sexually assaulted by a colleague from another force has been sent back to jail after her original sentence was ruled unduly lenient. Lauren Evans falsely claimed she was pulled over on the A20 near the Sidcup bypass by a man in an unmarked car, and an innocent officer was arrested. The 35-year-old from Maidstone was sentenced to a year in prison. That's now been increased to two. Now, a dog handler's told the Kent Online podcast that crime gangs are using James Bond-style concealments to try and hide illegal cigarettes in shops. It's after more than 58,000 were discovered in stores in Medway, along with hand-rolling tobacco. Trading Standards officers teamed up with police to search sites in Chatham, Strood, Gillingham and Twiddle. Sniffer dogs Bran and Griff were used too, and they're trained by Stu Phillips. He's been speaking to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
The dogs are brought in for illegal tobacco operations. So this operation was part of Operation CC, which is the national illegal tobacco operation for the United Kingdom. And the dogs were brought in to assist with searching premises that Medway Trading Standards had intelligence on. These were premises, shops that were selling and distributing illegal tobacco products.
I suppose, because obviously, despite them trying to conceal some of the goods with mothballs and things like that, didn't throw off Bran or Griff at all. What goes into training these dogs? Like my dog can detect illegal tobacco, I don't think.
Yeah, so the dogs are brought in because I mean I've been doing this for about supporting trading standards all over the UK now for about 14 years. And when we first started, not with Bran and Griff, when I started with my previous tobacco dogs, the shops were not concealing tobacco really. It was just under the counter. It was in the storeroom. It wasn't being hidden. But unfortunately, as time has progressed, the shops are getting more sophisticated. They're concealing the illegal tobacco products, and pretty much the only way that you will find it is with a detection dog, with a tobacco detection dog. And the dogs, Bran and Griff. But Bran and Griff are two of my current three dogs that are used by trading standards to find concealments. And in Medway, over the years in Medway, I've been working with Medway trading standards for about 14 years, and we've had some amazing seizures over the years. And a lot of those seizures wouldn't have happened without detection dogs.
Is it becoming harder with all these concealing? Because they're getting quite advanced. I mean, I've seen shops with that have hidden compartments, things that rise out the floor. Is it becoming harder to kind of track down all these illegal goods that are being sold?
Yeah, they have got a lot more sophisticated over the years. You know, these shops are using electronics, electromagnets. They're using hydraulic rams, and as you've seen in some of the latest videos, one of the shops that we searched last week, they'd even put mothballs into the concealment to try and, put the dogs off, to deter the dogs, to distract the dogs. But the concealments have the, people, they're often referred to as James Bond type concealments, and they are. They are very, these shops, which are normally part of an organized crime group, they invest a lot of money into constructing concealments because they don't want what they're selling to be found. And that's where the dogs come into their own, to be honest.
Kent Online reports.
A critical incident has been declared by a hospital trust in Kent due to an ongoing IT problem. Bosses at East Kent, which runs the Kent and Canterbury, William Harvey and QEQM hospitals, have warned patients to expect extremely long waits in A&E. We told you earlier in the week how GPs across Kent were experiencing a software issue preventing them from seeing patients' records. Just days after the new Prime Minister confirmed a £2 cap on bus fares, we're told a number of services across Kent are being axed. Providers Arriva and Stagecoach have blamed declining passenger numbers and increased fuel and staffing costs. It'll impact routes in Maidstone, Thanet, Dover, Tunbridge and Morling. We're told the decisions were made well before Andy Burnham's announcement. Now, government funding, meantime, has been secured to improve access at the Port of Dover in a bid to try and ease traffic congestion. The £20 million scheme will create space for another 500 lorries at the eastern docks. Bosses say it'll reduce the need for the use of Operation Brock on the M20 and Dover Tap on the A20. Well, Lucy's been chatting to Peter Osborne, who's the Cabinet Member for Highways and Transport at Kent County Council.
At the moment, Dover docks have got about 4,000 metres of queuing capacity. They can queue you in the port, but you've only got 4,000 metres of it. When this project is finished, they'll have about 14,500 metres, which will take away the need 80% of the time for Brock going on. So it's a massive, it will be a massive project. And it's all being done offline, so it won't impact any of the roads around Dover or anything, because it's all taking place inside the property of the dock.
So is this land that kind of already exists and is just being repurposed?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, they're moving. I mean, when you come into the docks, it's a bit of a funny setup. When you come into the port, you go into France first. So you go through French customs, then you go through English customs, and then you go up a bit further and you check in. So you've already left Britain before you leave Dover, if you get what I mean. So we're swapping that around. That's going to be the other way around, and it's going to be right over the other side of the port. So that frees up all that space so that people can queue off the road, because at the moment they're queuing on the road. We don't want them queuing on the road, and this will take away most of it. It's not an end to Brock. It's the beginning of an end to Brock. It will take away the need, as I say, of 80% of the time of putting it on.
I'm sure that will be welcome news for a lot of people because Brock has become such a staple of every school holiday, and it does cause a lot of frustration, doesn't it?
It does, it certainly does. But I mean, you've got to remember, it's not the freight that is causing the problem, it's the cars. You know, freight is pretty constant. If you get 5,000 lorries today that we know we're going to get within a few, 5,000 tomorrow, you know, it's pretty constant. But it's when the holiday times come and all the parents want to take the youngsters away to France or to Spain or wherever they want to go. And of course, they all converge on Dover. And that's what causes a problem because you can't put all cars on a ferry because there's not enough lifeboats. You could have four, five, six people in a car, seven people in a car. And you can't put all lorries on there because the weight distribution wouldn't be right. So that is what causes the problems. It's us, not the freight.
So this new area then, is that going to be for cars as well or just lorries?
Cars as well. It's I say it's 14,500 meters of queuing capacity. I don't know how if you've noticed, but the eastern docks, they've now filled in what were the berthing docks. They filled all that in, and that's all solid standing now. So they've got the entry exit system over on the eastern docks, which isn't up and running quite yet. We're still waiting on the software, and then you know it frees up. It just frees up massive amounts of space in the port itself.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been calling for an alternative to Operation Brock for a really long time. What sort of milestone is this in that, and what sort of difference is it going to make? Are we going to see holidays, school holidays come around and Brock isn't in place?
80% of the time. There might be the odd day when it's going to be, you know, when we know that it's going to be busy, because we know when it's going to be busy because the ferry companies tell us by the ticket sales. So we know when it's going to be a red day. I mean, last weekend it was, we had it down as a red day, and it was managed so well by the port that there was hardly any queues. People were queuing for 20 minutes to get through the port, which was fabulous. You know, it was thousands and thousands of cars.
And what's the time frame for this? When is this going to be finished and complete?
Well, it's starting shortly, and it will be complete by September 28. So it'll be the end of the summer holidays in 2 years' time.
New drone footage shows work is well underway to demolish the former Odeon cinema in Canterbury. The building's been structurally unsafe since the fire broke out in February. The cinema itself closed in 2020 and the site's been earmarked for redevelopment. You can see those images today on the website.
Kent Online reports.
A Kent football coach has had life-saving surgery in Portugal after the club helped raise tens of thousands of pounds. Paul Squires was diagnosed with cancer earlier this year, but has now been told he's free of the disease after surgeons removed his pancreas, gallbladder and spleen. The 55-year-old coaches youngsters at Hempstead Valley FC, and the chairman of the club has had the badge tattooed on his leg to help with the fundraising. Paul's wife Marta has given us an update from the hospital where he's being looked after.
Obviously he's in lots of pain and discomfort after going such a serious abdominal operation. He's in intensive care, hopefully till Thursday, and then they will put him to his room for probably another week to just keep an eye on him and to teach him how to live with being diabetic. But the thing is, you can live with diabetes. So that's where we are. And then I can't thank you enough for all the messages you are of support and love from everyone. This means a lot to me and to Paul. Yes, thank you.
Bosses at one of Kent's remaining traditional hop farms are going to turn some of their land into a wildlife habitat. The Haffenden site near Biddenden has been run by the same family for five generations. Money from local housing developments will be used to create a biodiversity bank with around 70 hectares of meadows, hedgerows and woodland. A Kent mum who once cooked for royalty and pop stars on Concorde flights is opening her own bakery. Kate Sutton is hoping to welcome customers to the bakehouse on Dover Road in Walmert near Deal from next month. month. She moved from Oxford to the county and has also previously worked in supermarket bakeries. And the new Next at Bluewater is officially opening today. The store has moved into the vacant House of Fraser, which closed at the end of 2024. It'll be the chain's biggest shop in the UK and will include an in-store Costa Coffee.
Kent Online Sports.
Now, if you missed this football news last night, Gillingham have made their ninth signing of the summer. Defender Sam Tabárez has joined on a free transfer after leaving Southampton. The 19-year-old's been speaking to the club's media team.
I'm buzzing, to be honest. It's been a long period of kind of unknown, which is never easy, but I'm too happy to be signing at Jules.
Ultimately, what made you decide Gillingham's the place?
I think the whole vibe of the training ground, of the boys, of the staff, everyone made me feel so welcome. I literally feel like I've known the boys for ages already, and it's only been a couple of days. You know, even coming in yesterday after my medical and seeing the reaction of everyone, really happy to see me and stuff, like it makes a massive difference. So I'd say the overall vibe really, really made me want to sign here.
Did you take your time in your decision? Because I guess at your age, you want to pick the club that's correct mm-hmm. for your next chapter and the correct environment for you.
Yeah, for sure. No, there's a lot of thinking that has to go behind it, obviously. You know, the gaffer made it quite an easy decision for me, to be honest. He said that I'm going to play a lot of football here, which is always what you want to hear. And you know, just the players, the way that the team wants to play this season, we're obviously going to aim for the highest level that we can aim for, and that's what I like. I like competitive football. So that all together kind of really made my decision clear.
How would you describe yourself as a player? What can fans expect from you?
I'd describe myself as quick, quite exciting, especially when I'm going forwards. I like to show my speed and my physicality a lot. But I'd say also like the defending is really important to me, obviously. And I'm quite diverse. I can play centre back, but I do prefer right back, right wing back. And like to get in the box, score goals, get forward. Just try and give as much energy as I can.
Staying with football, and the Dover Athletic chairman has announced three new people are joining the club's board, something he's described as an exciting opportunity. They're coming in as vice chairman, commercial director and finance director. It's hoped they'll help grow commercial revenues to help fund their ambitions on the pitch. On to the Commonwealth Games now, and Kent wheelchair racer Ellis Kottas has won a silver medal. The 22-year-old from West Morling finished second in the women's 1500 metres T54 final. Lewis Church from Sevenoaks will get his decathlon campaign underway this morning, while Canterbury's Charlotte Hemrich is preparing to run in the 400-metre semi-finals. And the cycling also gets underway at the Games today, but Kent's Matt Richardson won't be taking part. The Team England sprint star from Maidstone, who switched allegiance from Australia, has withdrawn with an injury. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the brief. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Whilst you're on the website today, don't forget to check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.